As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the second epistle of Peter, chapter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Chapter 1, the second epistle of Peter, verse 10. This is a word which all sinners born again, as they journey on through life, desire divine aid to reduce it to practice. And it may be some in this assembly would be glad beyond words to describe if you could feel before God with whom you have to do that your election is sure. I want us the Lord to help me to look at the subject from three or four viewpoints of it, and it might be helpful if I look at some words in the text which do need grace to understand and also to reduce them to practice. I might look at the word sure, and it may be you will be surprised if I tell you that this word sure, making your calling and election sure, is not to do with your election before God. It is to do with you making it manifest before man, whose you are and whom you serve. If it is your mercy to be numbered with God's elect, it is sure already, ordained to life eternal, before the world was built, a time was born, and you had to be born into the world to be born again, because your election was sure in eternal purposes. If you follow the chapter through, you will find the Apostle Peter is stressing bringing forth fruit, a barren tree that bears no fruit, brings no great glory to its root. When on the bough rich fruit we see, 'tis then we cry, a goodly tree. And I just remind you of the context. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren, margin, idle, or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads up to this subject. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Wherever you reside, let your life and acts express the holy gospel you profess, that men may take knowledge of you, that you have been with Jesus. Oh, it is a great word, sure. And you do want something that is sure. For you and I are poor sinners with never-dying souls, hastening through a time state into one that is eternal, either to be lost or saved. And you want something in your soul's experience that has got the hallmark of sure. And then there is this word. And it is in the Word of God and inspired by the Holy Spirit to be recorded there. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Diligence is a word that you need to be brought into a proper frame of mind to hear about it as an exhortation. The soul of the diligent should be made fat. There is to be diligence in all the appointed means of grace God has set up, whereby poor sinners, in giving diligence, doing business in heaven's marketplace, may come into this word. How the epistle ends, I'm afraid you and I know but very little about it. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. There is to be diligence in our everyday life to make manifest that we are on the Lord's side, that others may discern there is a difference between them and us. And the difference is made by grace. Who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou dost not receive? You must admit, let your consciences tell you that too often you have been brought in guilty before God of being slack in following on to know the Lord. And you know too well when prayer is a burden and task, no wonder I little receive. O Lord, make me willing to ask, since thou art so ready to give. This word diligence fits in there. It means let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And then, coming down to what I want especially to make plain, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And now, remember, election is the root. Calling is the fruit. And this word election sometimes refers to the doctrine of it. Sometimes it refers to the people who make up God's elect. You find that set forth in the Epistle to the Romans, a very solemn scripture. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Margin reading, hardened. What is it the election hath obtained? Oh, they have obtained some religion that God is the author of, which we do to live by, and at the last to die by. Oh, they have obtained some evidence that God has remembered them with the favor that he bears to his people, and that they are numbered with them, living and dying. The election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. And now you might read that scripture cursorily and turn the pages over and go on your way and think how sad it seems. And you might have hard thoughts of God, that there should be a number which no man can number, making up the election and ordained to life eternal, and all the rest were blinded. Yes. But what saith the scriptures? You are not to think your own thoughts about it. In the word of God, it will tell you what is the truth of the matter. And we should compare scripture with scripture. And now the apostle Paul told the Corinthians, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, you cannot lay that at God's door, that all the rest are blinded. It is to do with the great adversary, the enemy of God and godliness, called in the text a little G-God. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And there is a scripture which I will search out to read to you, which I think needs to be more understood than it is when you begin to dwell on the doctrines of grace. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you see? The onus is on the sinner's head. He hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, margin discovered. Here is an evidence that you have a part and lot in the election, if you are concerned to possess it. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And looking at this word election, as setting forth that number which no man can number, who will be saved with an everlasting salvation, there are some very encouraging characteristics to set forth the election in the sacred pages. And I will name just a few to help you, and the Lord grant it might be a help to you, that you might feel that you have a part and lot among the people of God. And now the word of God says, they that are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. And now what do you mind? Let your conscience tell you the truth as to what is your bent of mind as you live your everyday life. Are you just in the world and of it and at home in it and with no concern whatever to be otherwise than as you were born and living after the flesh, the things of the flesh? Are all your concerns on this side of the grave and to do with time and no thought welling up, where shall I spend eternity? And never a thought to be made ready to enter therein? You are on the wrong side of the line as yet. God in his mercy may make you manifest ere you die that you're on the other side of the line. But if you were living as you were born in the world and of it, as yet, you give no evidence of belonging to the election. Oh, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. And now it may be some of you are troubled and have many searchings of heart because you cannot gather together many evidences such as you would like to do that you are born again. And yet you can appeal to God with whom you have to do that you are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And you do seek his divine aid to lead you into the truth of which he is the glorious author. And how often you have prayed, assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear the witness with my heart that I am born of God. You are after the Spirit. Then that means the Spirit has been after you. Otherwise, you would still be living on the opposite side of the line of demarcation, after the flesh, the things of the flesh. Here you are with an aching void which the world cannot fill. And although you cannot say much as yet about the dealings of God with you to give chapter and verse for the dealings, yet you are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And what does the Scripture say about you? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And there is another Scripture you shall know the meaning of to the joy and rejoicing of your heart, sooner or later. God grant it may be sooner. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Then there is another evidence, a sure evidence, and there the Apostle Paul helps us in how he wrote to the Thessalonians, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. And now, most of you, if not all, have been born under the gospel. You have been brought up under the gospel. And now, can it be said of you? Thank God it can be said of many of you. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. And when you come up to worship God, in your heart there is a deep down concern. I would hear what God the Lord will say. And you want to hear the gospel, not to hear this preacher or that and be a sermon taster, but you want something for your soul. I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul. And that brings you into this category. In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. You come up to hear the words of the book. And what he whose book it is, the Spirit of God, will make known to you as to your interest in the things of God. Then a miracle has been wrought for you. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And that brings you back to what I've already quoted. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. There are those often in assemblies where the gospel is being preached by men ordained of God to preach it, but the only word they're listening for is the amen that concludes the sermon and lets them go out into the world where they feel more at home than they do in listening to the gospel preached, although it may be that they do not remember or ponder in their heart that they might be hearing the gospel one Sabbath day and the next Sabbath day be laid in their grave. And how? If not possessing an ear to hear the gospel for your soul's peace and profit, you cannot be well laid in the grave. You will be without God and without hope. Therefore, it is a wonderful mercy if you are here to hear what God the Lord will say to you and to get some good unto the gospel being preached, and that you might feel like the psalmist when he said, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. I often think of one of our hymn writers. What a divine, harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music can with it compare. Listen, the soul that knows it lives, and he lives no more to die. He possesses life eternal. He belongs to the election. He knows the gospel of the grace of God, not only in the letter of it, in word only, but he knows the power of it. What happiness you have felt, some of you, along life's way, in hearing the gospel preached, when the power of God has made it effectual in your own soul's experience. When you have said, the watchmen that go about the city, they found me. Lord, it is good for us to be here. And now, that is a sure evidence of you being numbered with the election. And then there is another evidence, equally sure. Godly John says, he that loveth is born of God. And now that is a test for you, dear friends. You come and listen to the gospel. Do you love it? Ye did receive the love of the truth, Paul said to the Thessalonians. Have you received it? You may listen to the truth and not love it. But if you love it, it is your concern in everyday life to live it, because this is the real meaning of this scripture. Hoard up the sacred word and feed thereon and grow. Go on to seek to know the Lord and practice what you know. This love is a blessed principle which a man cannot receive except it be given him from heaven. He that loveth is born of God. And that means love to the truth in listening to it, love to those who preach the truth. There is a scripture like this, a lover of good men. And you have sometimes hoped in God on another scripture. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Love is the golden chain that binds the favoured souls above. And he is a heir of heaven who finds his bosom glow with love. And this love brings you up to the house of prayer with willing feet. And yet, with this concern, what is the house to me unless the Master I can see? And remember that scripture I read to you, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You want to have sure work in your soul's experience that what you humbly hope, you have known and felt therein of the things of God, is indeed of God, and it will do to live by, and at the last to die by, and therefore you come to the light. And if you should be searched and tried, and sometimes you seem to be more cut down than you are comforted, you will still come again to the light, because it is such a momentous matter. It is a matter of eternal moment. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Oh, you do want clear credentials. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And now, I will look at another word, and that is your calling. And you read in the Hebrews, partakers of the heavenly calling. There is a general call whereby people gather under the gospel, but this is a special call, a call that is known and felt only by those who are numbered with the election. And there are characteristics in this calling. It is said to be a heavenly calling. And that brings us to consider that if you and I are going to heaven, I do hope we are, I would it could be of God that we all could be found there at last. But if you and I are going to heaven, then our religion must come from heaven to take us there. You will never gather any religion from any earthly source whatever that will take you to heaven. God indeed must be the author of it. Because there is this scripture, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Your calling. And now, it is a calling from death unto life. Is that word the truth about you and about me that you read in the Ephesians? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. It is a calling from death unto life. Something happens. You may not be able to go into many details about how it happened. Yet, it has happened. And you find in your heart what you never found there before. You never dreamed about finding it. But then it came. It came from heaven. And what happened? The eyes of the blind were opened. You were made alive. Alive to the solemn truth that you were a poor sinner, undeserving, hell-deserving, and that unless God in his mercy remembered you with the favour he bears to his people, you would be lost. Oh, that word lost is indelible. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall convince the world of sin. And being called from death unto life, I say, you are brought to a point like this. If my soul is sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. But the Spirit of God will not leave you there. Yet save a trembling sinner, Lord, whose soul still hovering round thy word would light upon some promise there, some sure support against despair. You were made alive unto God. You are now, as I said at the outset, concerned to be after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You have this feeling with the hymn writer, Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God. You have now an aching void which the world cannot fill. And you have this feeling, I hunger now for heavenly food, and my poor soul cries out for God. A calling from death unto life. It is also a calling from darkness to light, as Peter himself tells us in his other epistle. A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Ye were one time darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. I go back to my teenage life when I first gave out a hymn preparatory to speaking in prayer at our prayer meeting where I was made a member, and I've never forgotten it. Saviour of sinners, deign to shine on this benighted soul of mine. Oh, show my wandering feet the way that leads to realms of endless day. And that is what you feel like when you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the marvellous light of the gospel. Give diligence to make your calling sure. And now, it is also a calling from slavery to service. As you were born, so you live. The carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And sin is the element in which you live and move until that great miracle is wrought within you and you are born again. Then you come into the service of another master. Ye serve the Lord Christ, and he will give you a niche to fill. He will ordain for you a sphere of usefulness where you shall serve the Lord in accordance with what his will is that you should be and do. We serve the Lord Christ. And so this calling is from sin's slavery to serve the Lord Christ. It might be said it is a calling from enmity to God to love. I've already hinted at that, but referring again, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, there is an integrated enmity in our makeup as we are born. And man's attitude is, we will not have this man to reign over us. Depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thee or thy ways. But when you were made manifest as being numbered with the election, when you were quickened into life divine, you find that enmity to God dying down and down and down. And you ask him to keep it under control, that what you are by nature may not churn you up with conflicting emotions and mitigate your profession of the name of Jesus, which you will have made. What you are by nature makes a great deal of mischief with you following on to know the Lord. And then, with this calling, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. It is a calling not only from enmity to love, it is a calling to suffer. The word of God is very plain. He that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me cannot be my disciple. And you will find in your calling, if you are numbered with the election, God has ordained for you a cross. You may not always have agreed with God in what the choice of your cross is, but you will find you will gain no ground whatever in growing in grace until you do agree with it and say, it is the Lord enthroned in light, whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. You come to this, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. But you cannot escape suffering if you would make manifest your calling and election sure. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Call to suffer. And yet, there is a word which is very helpful in this epistle of Peter's, where he says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Going back to being after the Spirit. Now when suffering comes into your life and you can recognize it to be the will of God and you know it has not come by chance or haphazard, your great concern will be to get good for your soul. As that suffering is overruled and sanctified to your soul's profit and peace. You are called to be exercised unto godliness like that. But I will look at the subject from another viewpoint. Give diligence to make your calling sure. Now, in this calling, I've given you some characteristics of the nature of it, but now, what are these people making up the election called to as they journey on through life? You are called to live a life of separation from the world. Oh, that is an absolute essential to be made manifest as one of the election. The Savior said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Separation from the world is a very great evidence. You feel it within. The spirit of the world as you go about in it vitiates your own spirit. And sometimes you are brought in guilty before God and brought low in being entangled in the world. And you, like the woman in the gospel, you are brought low by the infirmities you were the subject of and can in no wise lift yourself up. But there must be separation from the world, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then the election are called to live a life of dependence. And that goes against what you are by nature. Man by nature would, if he could, live independent of God altogether. But the election, sinners taught of God, they are glad to live like the Apostle Paul said, "The life I now live, I live by faith upon the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." A life of dependence, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then, this calling is to live a life of faith. As you read in that beautiful chapter 11 in the Hebrews epistle, these all died in faith. But the chapter enumerates how they lived by faith. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of all them that diligently seek him. A life of faith. And what is a life of faith? One scripture will help you. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. And then this calling means not only a life of faith, but a life of hope. All through the wilderness below, good hope expects more good to know, and thus is kept alive the soul. It is also a life of communion with God. And that is a wonderful favor when you can enter into it. I will commune with you from above the mercy seat. But I must tell you this, as I come toward the amen, your calling will lead you to live a life wherein you experience much conflict. You will enter into what the Apostle Paul declares in the Epistle to the Romans: the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that alas I do. I would do good, but evil is present with me. Deep down in your heart, you want to have matters right between your soul and God. But you often have to confess, I would do good, but evil is present with me. And you feel, as Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, there is help to be had and hope in God for you in giving diligence to make your calling and election sure. And you remember what Paul says about it: fight the good fight of faith, lay hold upon eternal life. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And also, here you see diligence is emphasized in each illustration the Holy Spirit uses of a fight and a wrestling. And then let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, looking up all beside, as it is in the original. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. And what a great concern it is when all is said and done. And oh, pause my soul and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? I've no time to take up the other word I wanted to say a little upon. Wherefore the rather, brethren, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. All who are taught of God realize that unity of the Spirit. All who belong to the election, wherever they may be, as they meet each other and the things of God are brought up and their conversation is helpful and profitable, they fall together in a wonderful oneness and they flow to the goodness of God in their conversation, and their relationship among the brethren is made manifest for time and for eternity too. They are one in their aims, because their great aim is to have matters made right between their soul and God. They're one in their concern to win Christ and be found in Him. They're one in their desires. They all agree. Compared with Christ in all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with Thee. And they're one in their sorrows, in how they mourn, how far short they come in all that they would be and would do in living the life of the righteous. And they're one in their joys, because their joy consists in this: then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And that is their concern. We would see Jesus and see in Him all our salvation and all our desire. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. And look at the end of the road when you reach it. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The Lord help you to ponder these things to purpose and bless you. Amen.